You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
May the 8th, I'm sorry, May the 11th, 2020. Oh, I'm still behind the curve a little bit. I'll get ahead of it for you. May 11th, 2020. And today, Treasury Secretary Steve Mnuchin said, and make note of this, America could suffer, quote, permanent economic damage if we do not reopen the economy in the midst of this pandemic. He said, we're going to reopen in a very thoughtful way that gets people back to work safely, that has them at social distance. But he's basically saying, we've got to do it, otherwise permanent damage to the economy. The White House economic advisor, Kevin Hassett, said, you thought the number we saw last time on unemployment was high, approaching 15%, you could see as high as 20% in May. 20% in May unemployment. During the Great Depression in the 1933, we had 35%. We're not that far from that number at this rate. The U.S. continues its gradual reopening today. More than a dozen states now easing some of their strict lockdown measures. They're trying to anyway. Many states already stepping up and opening them. Michigan, Ohio even easing some restrictions this week. Michigan, of course, been one of the toughest because of the Democrat governor out there says, I will rule everything, your lives and everything. And where do we stand right now? Worldwide infections at 4.1 million, and deaths 280,000. In the U.S., 1.3 million infections, deaths just under 80,000. And 20,000 of those are from New York City and that region. And also, I'll remind you, there are numerous cases that are being labeled as COVID death when they might not be. They're basically told, hey, if you think they might be related to COVID, they came in, they got a little pneumonia, a heart problem, and label it COVID. And apparently hospitals get some extra money when they do that, something like $13,000 if they treated a COVID patient. If they put them on a respirator, they get something like $30,000 extra. You tell me if you think there might be some fudging going on and why. But in the meantime, former President Obama says, the Trump administration's response has been, quote, absolute chaotic disaster, blaming it on a selfish and tribal mindset. Now, is that racist? Is he mocking Indians? What, former President Obama, tribal? But chaotic disaster, is there anything to back that up? Nope. Same thing, but Biden coming forward, accusing Trump of childish tactics on the response. All of this is simply to attack the president. Wherever they can, they see that the country's in difficult times right now, going to get worse on the economy before it gets better, and they want to shove that down as far as they can, say, blame him. Here's all your chaos, right here. Trump also being blamed suddenly, no surprise here, but being blamed for that shooting that took place where a black jogger was shot down by two white men. I've not spent a lot of time on that case. Not because it didn't deserve it, but I had other things at the forefront. Today, in the next 2 hours, we're going to spend a lot of time on that and some of the new information. The man jogging, apparently, through the neighborhood. Two guys in a white pickup stop him. They're both white, carrying shotguns. He's black. They want to stop him. And that's where it goes down. I've got my own views on that case. That'll be coming up before we wrap up today. We'll also take a close look at media coverage on all issues, be it that or some of the others. I mean, if you watch the mainstream media, I know you don't, but I do it for you. Somebody's got to do the dirty work. You will find repeated cases where they out and out lie, they fabricate, they don't go with facts, and they want everyone else to be held to facts. But if you catch them in one, They might get around to making a correction or just dropping it. They might. But, of course, the damage is already done. We're going to get into that also. Oh, and Andrew in Chicago sent me an editorial statement someone wrote from Forest Park into one of the papers. His editorial statement, and I love this. Governing is not essential. Every day our doctors, nurses, and other healthcare workers, despite the obvious risk, don their mask, go to work. Every day the members of the Illinois legislature don't. Boy, did he nail it. Nancy, did you hear that? No, she's busy getting another pint of ice cream. We've got a lot to cover over the next 2 hours. Let your friends and your family know we're on the air, even your enemies. Lock and load. Ready. On the right.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
COVID-19 is a new health concern, but Wellington Environmental has 30 years experience to make your company and environment safe. Wellington Environmental can give you peace of mind, and the cost is very reasonable. These days, you can't take a chance that customers, employees, your family would be exposed to COVID-19. You have to be proactive. That starts by calling Wellington Environmental, 314-644-4930. 644-4930. You'll quickly see why customers have relied on Wellington Environmental for decades. COVID-19 can survive for hours on your furniture, your computers, your equipment, and every time someone touches that surface, they could be exposed. You don't want that liability. Call Wellington Environmental, 314-644-4930. 644-4930. Be well with Wellington Environmental.
I want to thank my friends at John Bill Roofing for sponsoring this segment of Larry Connors USA. John Bill Roofing, covering homes, businesses throughout the Midwest with the best quality, lowest price. John Bill Roofing. Call 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
That's the kind of stuff where you begin to get worried that basic, not just institutional norms, but our basic understanding of rule of law is at risk.
Former President Barack Obama stating the rule of law is at risk because the DOJ dropped the Michael Flynn case. He made that statement in a web talk with members of the Obama Alumni Association. Are you a member? If you're a member, you probably heard it directly. Are you a member of the Obama Alumni Association? No? Oh, I'm surprised. Basically, here's what he added. The fact there is no precedent that anybody can find for someone who's been charged with perjury just getting off scot-free, that's the kind of stuff where you begin to get worried that basic, not just institutional norms, but our basic understanding of rule at law is at risk. Wait a minute. Hillary Clinton committed, quote, perjury to FBI agents. James Comey even admitted when he went to Congress to report on the investigation on Hillary. And when he was asked directly, she said she had this many emails. Is that correct? No, that's not correct. She said she only had one source. Is that correct? No, that's not. I mean, several things he flat out contradicted, said she said one thing, he admits, but that wasn't correct. That's lying. Oh, a misunderstanding. And, of course, we've had numerous others. And, of course, if you're trapped, if they set a trap for you, that's not necessarily perjury. Let me put it this way. Even if you do lie, directly lie, as Michael Flynn, apparently in the call to a Russian contact before the Obama administration was out and Trump administration took over, the FBI agents had a copy of his transcript. They knew he'd talked to him. And they went over to talk to him about that and didn't indicate at all there was any problem or he's under investigation. And we'll get to that in more detail in a moment. But the point is, they were going after him on a phone call, and that was it. That was it. There was no other Russian collusion, and Flynn was part of the transition team. Same thing was Jeff Sessions. He was part of the transition team. Then later, of course, named Attorney General. When an administration changes, they always send folks in to make it as seamless as possible for the country and for the incoming presidency. So they were making some efforts to try to make sure things were smoothed over. And this is right after Obama hit Russia with sanctions because he believed they were colluding to turn over the election. And especially after Trump got elected, he wanted to do something. But here's Obama now saying, the rule of law is at risk simply because the DOJ said this case against Flynn was false from the beginning. As A.G. Barr said the other day, sometimes folks plead guilty to something that's not really a crime. And the other part of that is we've seen it numerous times. Cases are thrown out. Full confessions are thrown out because their rights were not protected. Sometimes a technicality that just absolutely infuriates you. Of course, if it's you getting out from under it, it probably doesn't infuriate you as much. But here's the thing about the interview with Flynn that they conducted that they nailed him on. You're familiar with the Miranda rights. You see it in all the cop shows, and maybe you've been at the end of it, where they start advising you, here are your rights. If you do not have an attorney, we'll have a right to get an attorney, and so forth, so on. You have a right to request an attorney, so forth, so on. You know that. Well, the Fed statute 1001 is very similar to that. To tell someone what you say now, coming up next, could be used against you. And it's a federal penalty to lie to a federal agent. They never brought that up with Flynn. They never mentioned that, like saying you would get a Miranda warning on something. And his attorney, current attorney, Sidney Powell, says it's very clear what the FBI was doing, ignoring that rule.
Well, it's the statute that makes it a federal felony to lie to agents. These agents specifically schemed and planned with each other how to not tip him off that he was even the person being investigated. In fact, according to Comey's testimony that's attached to the exhibits they filed in the motion to dismiss, they just simply said, you know, we'd like to send a couple of agents by to talk to you. And, of course, General Flynn said, sure. And he saw them as allies. They encouraged him to stay that way. They deliberately did not tell him about 1001 because they didn't want to trigger the slightest suspicion in his mind that he was being investigated or should be concerned about anything. So they kept him relaxed and unguarded deliberately as part of their effort to set him up and frame him.
If you're charged with a crime, if police stop you and they get ready to charge you, arrest you, and they fail to read you the Miranda rights, that'll be the first thing your attorney will put in front of a judge, say, throw all this case out. My client was not advised of his rights. I think that's similar to what just happened. And, of course, what's happened now is we've got all these transcripts that are coming out, things that took place behind closed doors. Adam Schiff is known because he was overseeing these, and numerous members of the Republican Party have known, but they couldn't say anything. It was done behind closed doors. They're in a gag order at that point until they're released. Now they're being released only because the Republicans make clear to Schiff you have to release them. You cannot hold them anymore. And, of course, some of the transcripts coming out already indicate a lot of things that Schiff said were absolutely wrong. Listen to what Schiff said the other day as to what he thinks the transcripts are proving.
Chris, I think we lost 50 years worth of ground in solidifying the independence of the Justice Department after Watergate. This really puts us back in the category of almost an emerging democracy where the rule of law is not yet firmly established, where prosecutorial decisions are made on the basis of politics.
Do you get the phrase that he said rule of law, and you hear Obama use it in his phone conversation the same day You think there's an echo chamber going on? They all talk about, let's focus on the rule of law. The rule of law is at risk. And as Schiff said, we're becoming, before democracy was created, he and Obama parroting the same language to different audiences. And again, that's their drum they're beating now. The rule of law is at risk because the DOJ is dropping the case against Flynn. And again, you heard Schiff talk about this is just not right. Well, the transcripts repeatedly show there was no proof of any type. 53 transcripts still to come, including interviews with Director of National Intelligence Clapper at the time, former Attorney General Lynch, former FBI Director McCabe, former National Security Advisor Rice, former Obama Advisor Benjamin Rhodes, and all of them have said, we have no evidence, we have no evidence. And yet that's not what Schiff was saying to the public on a continuous basis. Why were they continuing when he already knew what the testimony was? Why were they doing this? Well, because it was all part of the plot and plan. You got to damage Trump and his administration. And if he makes enough noise, enough smoke screen before the transcripts finally come out, maybe folks will see, it was all, fabricated the other side, that the Democrats did a good job, and Trump should have been fully impeached. Rudy Giuliani, personal legal counsel for Trump on a New York City talk show, was saying, look, we're going to see additional investigations. We're going to be looking at some criminal investigations coming up. And Giuliani is believing they probably have Comey right in a vice.
I think they have Comey. And I think despite the fact that he got let off a couple of times, and I have no inside information, I believe that Attorney General Barr was saving it for the really good case, the one that comes pretty close to treason. Because what they did after he was elected, I don't say that it's treason, but it's as close to treason as you can get. They wanted to take out the lawfully elected president of the United States, and they wanted to do it by lying, submitting false affidavits, using phony witnesses. In other words, they wanted to do it by illegal means. What is overthrowing a government by illegal means? It's a coup.
Treason.
And it's also treason.
It's treason, clearly. We now have the U.S. Attorney for Connecticut, John Durham, the one appointed by A.G. Barr, going, quote, full throttle with his review into the origins of the investigation. That's according to a source stating that everything is on the table now. This source of stating they farmed the investigation out because it's too much for Durham. He didn't want to be distracted, so they've taken some of the issues and spread them around. And the source reporting, he's going full throttle. They're looking at everything. Not just looking about building a case against anyone involved in the Russian probe, but anything beyond that. Of course, you got the response you would expect from the left. House Judiciary Committee Chairman Gerald Nadler, Democrat, New York, a key figure during the Trump impeachment proceedings, said this decision, again, is just outrageous. I'm surprised he didn't use that phrase. The rule of law is at risk. Senator Lindsey Graham says, well, we go forward, you can watch for Durham and the rest of them to start making some points.
So Durham's going to look at criminality, whether somebody broke the law in the name of enforcing the law, whether they had a political bias and took the law in their own hands. As Judiciary Chairman, I'm going to try to explain to the country, have a public accounting of Crossfire Hurricane. I think Crossfire Hurricane was one of the most unethical, sloppy, ill-conceived, and dangerous operations in the history of the FBI and the Department of Justice. It wasn't about protecting the Trump campaign. It was about trying to undermine it. And my goal is to have a public accounting laid out for the entire country and the world to see.
And we're going to get into that in more detail in a few moments as to how they were doing some of this and setting things in motion. They had their own plot to destroy the Trump campaign. As it became evident in August, he was going to be leading that charge from the Republicans. And then if they couldn't, and then, of course, he ends up winning, what do we do now? Well, start dismembering his staff. And when Flynn had his phone call with a Russian contact discussing a Don't do tit for tat on the sanctions. I know Obama just hit you with sanctions, but please hold off till we get in and we can kind of find a way around this. In other words, we're the incoming. You don't need to take fire at us yet. Some would say, well, that was wrong, Larry. Well, what about Obama when he sat there on a stage and got caught on mic leaning forward, telling a Russian leader to advise Putin, hey, I've just give me some time here. I got one more election. Let me get in again. Then I can work with you guys. That's more collusion than what we heard from Flynn. So when you have Obama now say the DOJ dropping the Michael Flynn case proves the rule of law is at risk, former House Oversight Committee Chairman Trey Gowdy said that is an amazing statement. He said, where is Obama's respect for the law of crime that Michael Flynn was a victim of? Remember, he was unmasked by somebody in Obama's administration, then it was leaked. That's a 10-year felony to disseminate classified information. Michael Flynn was a victim of that crime. That is, of course, Gowdy talking about Obama and what was going on. We take a break. When we come back, you're going to hear from KT McFarland, who was a deputy under Michael Flynn, as to how she saw this story breaking, and Flynn was just suddenly trapped with really no way to go because he couldn't defend anything because, he didn't know there was anything to defend, and secondly, they weren't going to look at any defense. They were looking to take him down. That's coming up next.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at LarryConnorsUSA.
You want to look better, stronger, leaner? Visit my trainer, Jamie, and his team at Red Fitness Lounge in Clayton. Red Fitness Lounge, redefining exercise, changing how you think and look at fitness, one client at a time. Check it out, redfitnesslounge.com, redfitnesslounge.com.
Not a yes sir, not a follower. Fit the box, fit the mold, have a seat in the foyer. Take a number. I was lightning before the thunder.
Thunder, 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 thunder.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
They were setting it up from the very beginning. I mean, they knew from the very beginning and get-go there was no collusion with the Trump campaign and with the Russians. And it's very clear that it wasn't just a few rogue agents at the FBI. This is not done by some mid-level government official in the Justice Department or the FBI. It was the highest levels of the FBI. And, Brian, even Comey laughed and joked about wiretapping Flynn, and he joked about going into the Oval Office, and joked about going into Flynn's office to set him up. So they, at least Comey knew what was going on, and from the documents that have now been released, it's pretty clear President Obama knew. So who was in this? My big question going away from this, who knew what and when did they know it? Was it Susan Rice? Was it Vice President Biden? Was it President Obama? What did they know, and when did they know it, and who was in charge of this massive attack?
Massive attack on Flynn, and of course the entire collusion story. That's KT McFarland, former Deputy National Security Advisor, who was working under Flynn at the time. She said it was clearly a setup. You cannot have just one agent doing this. You've got to have multiple players. And, of course, don't forget the entire scope and investigation and definition of authority for the Mueller investigation was created by Rod Rosenstein, Deputy Attorney General at the time. And he had already given directions to the FBI to go interview Flynn. And he said he wanted to make sure there are certain questions asked. And at no point did they advise Flynn you could be under investigation, kind of a Miranda-type warning. The 1001 Fed statute. So Flynn was asked, hey, will I come over and talk to you? And Comey's admitted they bypassed White House counsel, which is not protocol. And then they come in and they talk to him, they walk out, and they look at their notes and they decide, I think the guy's telling the truth. There's nothing really here. And they're going to close down that part of the operation until Agent Smurf Stroke looked at the closure and said, no. People on the seventh floor are involved. He's talking about the higher FBI, as in Andrew McCabe, deputy director, as in James Comey. And then, of course, now we know it goes all the way back to the White House that Obama was being informed. Was he directing it? No one said that, but he was being told. You know, there's a twist in all this, too. K.T. McFarland, who, as I said, was working under Michael Flynn, shared what he told her on the last day he was in the White House.
The last words that General Michael Flynn said to me when he left the when he left our shared office in the West Wing the night that he had to resign, he said, yeah. You know the irony? I joined the military to fight the Russians.
Yes, he did. And it is ironic. We're waiting sometime today for a judge to sign off on the DOJ dismissing the charges against Flynn. Now, he may want them to do something else, but if the DOJ is not going to prosecute it, there's nothing to go forward. If they say, we're done with this case, there's nothing here, well, we'll see what the judge says. We're watching that for you as we go through this hour and the next hour. And more on the Flynn case coming up.
You can hear podcasts of this program at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
I'm sure you have some alarms to let you know if someone breaks into your home. But what happens if your home is invaded by creatures? Six legs, eight legs, maybe more. Rottler Pest Solutions can help keep those pests out of your house. And if they're already inside, get them out. In fact, you can get a free, no-obligation inspection and estimate to protect your home. You can get that at any time. Go online to Rottler.com. Rottler.com, schedule your free inspection today. Rottler is the largest family-owned pest control business in Missouri. 10 locations, more than 200 team members. Plus, Rottler has a money-back guarantee. If you're not happy for any reason, they will make it right or your money back. You know, I first called Rottler more than 40 years ago, so I know they will take good care of you. I continue to trust Rottler. Rottler Pest Solutions, Rottler.com, Rottler.com.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
I think a very important evidence here was that this was not a bona fide counterintelligence investigation, was that they were closing the investigation in December. They started that process, mm-hmm. and on January 4th, they were closing it. They kept it open for the express purpose of trying to catch, lay a perjury trap for General Flynn.
The words of Attorney General Barr the other day, and I want you to hear them again. The FBI decided to lay a perjury trap for General Flynn. And, of course, by the FBI, we're talking about the higher echelon. Listen, I have known and throughout decades as a news anchor and reporter, I've worked with numerous FBI agents. Always first class, always honorable. If I asked them a question about an investigation they couldn't answer, they didn't lie. They just simply said, can't answer it. We all had an understanding. But when I look at this case, this was not reflective of the agents I've seen over decades. This was a collection of thugs deciding to take the law into their own hands. And that is why I am extremely upset today when Obama makes his statement that dropping the Flynn case is basically damaging to the rule of law. The rule of law. The very thing they were ignoring. Keep in mind, when they went to talk to Flynn, they did not notify White House counsel they're coming over. They did not follow protocol, as Comey admitted. And all they were doing is raise some questions. And when they finished, the agents and handwritten notes, which are now been part of the record released, were writing back for, what are we supposed to do? I mean, are we trying to convict the guy? Are we trying to force him into a lie? Are we trying to get him fired or get him persecuted? I mean, that's not the intent of the FBI. The FBI is to go investigate a crime. Barr says the important thing is this was not a bona fide counterintelligence investigation, so the whole thing is out the window. But they were working on that, and they had the Michael Steele dossier, remember? Which was paid for, bought and paid for by the Democrats. And that information they were using to get their FISA warrants. And they already acknowledged it had no validity. They didn't believe it. But Sidney Powell, the current attorney for Michael Flynn, says that was something else that they went running over to the White House for and say, look here, look at this.
So then they dispatched Comey the very next morning to brief President Trump only on the salacious aspects of the dossier on January 6th to set the news hook for BuzzFeed and CNN to run with the dossier they knew was a lie. Then Peter Strzok is watching CNN report on that and text about he and Priestap sitting there watching it and using it as a pretext to go interview some people. So the whole thing was orchestrated and set up within the FBI, Clapper, Brennan, and in the Oval Office meeting that day with President Obama.
So you think this goes all the way up to the top to President Obama?
Absolutely.
Absolutely. That is, again, Sidney Powell, the attorney currently for Michael Flynn. And she says Obama was in on the plot to frame Flynn. To frame him. Now keep in mind, as she was saying, these are details presented of this dossier, the more salacious aspects of prostitutes being in the room in advance and peeing on the bed and stuff like that. I mean, all this was nasty, nasty stuff, and they would say, oh, Trump would do this, and they'd bought it. They bought it. They did organize prostitutes go do that before the Obamas showed up to go to their room. But it was not fact. It was simply made up and paid for by the DNC, and they were willing to use it, unquestioned, and they took it to Obama, unquestioned. And then they knew that if we get it into there, then we can find a way for it to leak out of the White House and present a news story for BuzzFeed and a couple others. And once they got, then we got a news hook, so we can use that as evidence to go to the FISA court and say, this story is out there, and we need to investigate, and look, it's already been documented some in the news media. They were using the news media to begin to make their case to go to the FISA court. Why? Well, because they had nothing. They had nothing. And now with these transcripts being released and yet those yet to come, you still have Adam Schiff insisting, we were right all along. I told you we had more than circumstantial evidence. We had hard evidence. He said, and the transcripts prove everything. Prove everything. Here are the words of Adam Schiff.
Those transcripts reveal in great detail how substantiated the Mueller investigation was. All the steps that Donald Trump and his family members and allies took to get Russian help, how they lied about it, how they covered it up, how they obstructed justice into it. And in an effort to make that go away, you have this effort to push out a completely counter narrative at odds, certainly with the truth, but consistent with the president's political objectives.
So he's telling you the transcripts were proving everything. And of course, he's been telling us that in the American public ever since they had the interviews back behind closed doors. And he continues to say it even though the interviews are out, the transcripts are out. How would he justify? I mean, why wouldn't someone, well, he's not going on the media that will ask him that. You want to claim that they prove everything. How do you respond to the former director of National Intelligence, James Clapper, who testified, I never saw any direct empirical evidence that the Trump campaign or someone in it was plotting, conspiring with the Russians. Obama National Security Advisor said, I didn't either. I mean, they were all appearing before the committee, and they were being asked these questions, and none of them had any evidence, none. Trey Gowdy, as I said at the time, was in Congress, and he was a member of that committee. And he spent a lot of time listening to all of these folks coming forward with their stories.
I was in that room for a year with Swalwell and Schiff. It's the longest damn year of my life. Mm-hmm. Every witness will say the exact same thing. I ask every one of them, give me all the evidence of collusion, coordination, conspiracy you have with anybody in the Trump campaign, with anybody in Russia, and the answer was none.
None. None. That's what the transcripts are going to be showing. Not one person is quoting any of the transcripts, and those yet to come aren't going to change. You know why? You know why it's different than what they've been saying out in public? Because when they're testifying for Congress, they're under oath. So they can go out and go on CNN, which Clapper did, and Brennan, and they went on there all the time talking about how bad this was and how Trump and the campaign were wrapped with Russia. And, of course, you had McCabe even hired as a CNN analyst for a period of time after he got fired by the FBI. And, of course, we've had others all pulling together, like Adam Schiff, repeating the mantra over and over again, collusion, 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 even if the Mueller case didn't prove what we wanted it to, it's enough. And they knew from their own interrogation, their own witnesses that appeared behind closed doors, not one of them had a shred of evidence. And then they were using that Steele dossier, which they also knew was false, to go get FISA warrants to spy, wiretap. Senator Lee of Utah is stepping forward on a bipartisan bill, realizing it is time we need to overhaul the laws regarding FISA and these warrants.
There is no question that this was a travesty, and there's no question that this calls out for reform within the FBI. I believe the best place to start for reform at the FBI really begins with our effort to reform the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act, or FISA, this week in the Senate. And that's why I've introduced, along with Senator Pat Leahy from Vermont, a bipartisan amendment that would substantially reform FISA and make things like this less possible in the future.
And you know why there's bipartisan support now? And Leahy stepping up, Democrat, to offer the bipartisan support. You know why? Well, because they're beginning to realize, boy, this were used against us in the future, and we got to make it tougher for Trump or any administration on the other side in the future to turn the same weapons on us. Yeah, they should. They should, because none of that should be used as a political weapon. It's an investigative weapon when used correctly and with proper discretion by the agents that are supposed to oversee it and have the rights to it. If you recall, there was a review of the FISA warrants, and a lot of them were missing details. And the head of the FISA court judge at that time was absolutely inflamed and say, I want more evidence that you guys are changing things. Current FBI Director Wray acknowledged they were making 10 or 12 changes, I think 10 or 12. Probably need more than that, but beyond that, they acknowledge they had problems, they're going to change it. And if they were wanting to prosecute Flynn on this flimsy perjury thing, what about the agents who testified so they could get a FISA warrant, knowing they were submitting false, incomplete, inconclusive information? Stuff they didn't really even believe, and yet they were telling a judge, here's our proof. The only thing we know they could really prove is because of the news media started running it, and that happened because they allowed a leak. They wanted to leak to give them a basis to say, hey, it's out in the public, this is proof this is going on. How about that investigation? All right, we'll take a break. When we come back, let's take a look at what's happening across the nation in reference to virus, and again, how Trump is being blamed. Trump is going to be blamed one way or the other. And they're doing that again. Please stand by.
To me, I'm worth it. Baby, I'm worth it.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Earlier, as we began today's program, I read a quote from Treasury Secretary Mnuchin as he was on Fox News yesterday, and he said America could suffer, quote, permanent economic damage if we do not reopen the economy amid this pandemic. In other words, we can't simply wait for all the cases to disappear. Now, of course, the balance is, how do you do it? Continue and keep folks protected. And the general public will then make their own decision. Just because they open up something does not mean you have to go. You don't want to go? You don't go. Georgia has, of course, opened up a lot sooner, and other facilities that others are just now beginning to do so, and they're actually reporting a decrease. So far, that could change. And the war of the words continues back and forth on the political realm. This president is never going to get any credit for doing what he did do and shutting down those China flights at the time he did. Biden, among those stepping forward and saying, you don't need to do that. That's, again, racist, shutting down the flights from China. Xenophobic. Nancy Pelosi saying the same thing. And then once they begin to realize, yeah, probably a good idea, then they say, well, you didn't do fast enough. And again, we got Biden now accusing Trump of creating a false choice between protecting public health and reopening the nation's economy. He calls it a childish tactic to split the nation into dueling camps. Whatever division we have right now with coronavirus is in the hands of the American public. And most of them that are upset and protesting and everything else are those who have lost their jobs. They don't have any money. It's fine for you if you've got money and you don't need to go anywhere. You sit at home, and all these justices and legislators, they all make their money still. If someone said you cut off the spigot for them, maybe they'll take a higher interest in what we're trying to do here. And, of course, in addition to the remark from Biden, Obama goes in even deeper. He says the Trump administration's response to the coronavirus pandemic has been, quote, an absolute chaotic disaster. Absolute chaotic disaster. Based on what? Based on what? What about what the governors and mayors are doing across the nation where the president was originally saying, look, I'll decide what opens and when, and they all got upset, and I agree, he should let them make the decision, which he did. And in New York, they have 20,000 of the deaths in New York, and that's a total out of the 80,000 dead across the nation. And that's Trump's fault? Does anyone not want to look to their Democrat leaders in New York City and the governor's office, California? Another example. We do have attorneys general for 18 states now signing a letter asking bipartisan leaders in both the House and Senate to open hearings into China's role in the spread of the coronavirus. They're accusing the nation, China, of layers of deceit in a cover-up of the severity of the virus while it wreaked havoc in the U.S. Now, that is something I would like to see Obama and Biden say, yeah, we need to, I haven't heard them complain about China one time. I don't hear any of the Democrats mocking and going after China. Their whole point is target Trump. Target Trump, as if he started the virus to begin with. And then he's spreading it. And, of course, if we open some businesses, there will be continuing deaths. You had a health expert the other day saying, when Trump said, well, eventually we'll get rid of this, he said, we'll never get rid of it, the expert. I think the expert, obviously I agree with that. I think it's like anything. We're not going to really get rid of it. We learn to deal with it better, and we move on like every other virus we had, and we get a vaccine that'll be better yet, maybe. But there are folks out there, there's no way they can stay closed any longer. They just shut the place down. Nothing left. When they do reopen, are they going to have anybody come help them and bring in money and customers? I'll give you a good side of all this story. Over the weekend, there have been numerous food drives throughout the nation. numerous food drives. And I witnessed one the other day that National Guard had parked in front of a police station, and I watched folks lined up in their cars to drop off bags and bags of food, newly purchased. And I had gotten behind and didn't know that was going on, so I thought, I got to go by there and do that. Unfortunately, when I went back, they had already broken up. But there'll be another one. If you see those opportunities, step up and help some folks, because it's still going to be a while for some of them to get out of trouble. Coming up in the next hour, we're going to take a closer look at the shooting of the jogger in Georgia. And now, the DOJ looking at possible hate charges in that. I think they should. But there's some other things about that shooting I want to discuss with you. And I also talk about media failings. Oh, that's an easy target. Believe me. It's not hard to find problems and issues with the mass media. But sometimes it's not just a failing, it's a plot. And they get caught sometimes. Other times they get away with it. So we'll be getting into all of that. Also, a comment by Ted Nugent. Why not? We'll wrap up the show with a comment by Ted Nugent. Oh, it's all coming up in the next hour. Please stick around. We'll be right back.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
You've been listening to Larry Connors USA. Please listen to previous and future podcasts.